Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, guys and gals, this is your favorite radio voice guy, and now for America's number one tech socialite and her very own real-life rocket scientist, yes, he is a scholar and a gentleman, it's time for Cairo Queen's Taste of Technology with co-host Juarez Jackson. They talk everything from nanotech to blogging, making technology palatable for everyday people. Ladies and gents, let's hear it for them. Yeah!
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 I love that dude. I just want to say it.
I love that radio dude, man. I wish I had his voice, yo. I would just start charging people to leave my voice on your answering machine. That would be my job, to just have everyone have my voice on the answering machine. I would start at like $500 a recording. 30 seconds, you get $500.
Don't tell him to charge $500.
I think I'm going to make an app about that. That can work.
Everyone, we are now live on Cairo Queen's Taste of Technology. And guess what? I'm Cairo Queen. And we're with co-host Juarez Jackson. And guess where he is? Juarez,
where are you? Father True is live and direct from Orlando, Florida right now. So big up all of Disney World. I'm passing. I'm on the road, so if I drop off, I'm going to jump right in. You know how technology works. We just have to big up Google with their plan to get Wi-Fi everywhere, because that's what we need right about now, because we're world travelers.
I still want to shout out President Obama for LTE, because it is everywhere in Atlanta, almost everywhere, and it works. Yes, it works. It works underground. It works underground. Listen, everybody, we want to welcome you to the show today. We have a crazy lineup for you today. It's going to be just awesome.
Crazy.
We're going to do something that I don't even know if they've ever done before, but we are literally going to do a media mashup with two shows at the same time. Because today, of course, we're going to talk about today the effects of technology on the mind going virtual.
Mm-hmm.
And our guests just happen to be actual therapists. We have mental health and relationship expert Kiba Green, who will be joining us, and we also have Crystal Johnson-Smith, who will be joining us, and she is an addiction counseling expert. So she's going to be joining us, and we're going to talk about virtual reality, 360 degrees deep on Oculus and virtual gaming and all sorts of interesting things. And I'll tell you why. We'll tell you why when we get them on the line. We're going to click in after the commercial break. But, oh, my gosh, we have so much to talk about. I just want to say, first of all, thank you to Senator Donzella James. I did actually collect my award, a reward, my honorary award from the state capitol on Thursday, which was really an honor. I'm appreciative. I took a picture of it, showed everybody on all social media platforms. So
right.
I really, really am grateful for that. That holds a lot of weight because it does have the state seal on it. Morris, every time we talk to you, you're in a different city. And today you're in at the beach or by the water, and you have the children with you and Nicole, and you guys are out there just partying beachside in Orlando, and Mickey Mouse is with you and everything, right?
Something like that. You painted a very rosy picture, and I would say that's the graphic that you could paint if you were Michelangelo. It looks like that. It's a good look.
I
most definitely.
They call me an architect. Anyway.
And you know what? And a lot of people don't know that a lot of the professional jobs right now are going to people who are not only able to figure out problems and getting solutions that are technical, but you have to be able to paint that picture when you tell about what that problem was. You can't be smart for yourself. So I think you and I talked about that recently, about being smart for yourself and developing those soft skills. Were you able to, you know, paint a picture of what is that solution that you're looking to implement?
You know, one day you ought to do like a course for everybody, a brief once-over on one of the shows so people can get a grasp of what you do in consulting and what soft skills really are, because I bet you a lot of people don't even know what that is. So, you know,
right.
that are presentable to corporations, that are presentable to business people, that are presentable in the workforce, that are presentable to clients, things that actually get people to pay attention to you. You know, I actually
exactly.
had something like that with another person where I was trying to explain to them, you know, the ways that business is done on the ways that business is done in a corporate space as opposed to how you want them to work don't always go hand in hand. So a lot of times
Absolutely.
You're talking to a high level CEO, they have to process information. So they may not say yes.
Right. So
you know?
Exactly. So being that kind of having to do that on a regular basis, it's things that you can learn from, and I've taken it from different facets of my life, like, you know, being in Toastmasters and being able to speak in front of, you know, 4,000 people. There's different things you want to say in different fields, right? The same thing that you're going to be talking about to a CEO is not the same thing you're going to be talking about to an hourly worker. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that that hourly worker is any more insignificant than that CEO or significant. Because they all play a piece to the puzzle. So it's really about understanding where you go as far as how to leverage the information you have and the knowledge you have to apply it to get yourself where you need to be. And we talk about all the time, exposure. Once you're able to do those things, then you're able to succeed.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, on Cairo Queen's Taste of Technology with co-host Warren Jackson, he is not only a scholar and a gentleman, but he's also a rocket scientist.
I'm going to run that rocket science to death. So I have a degree, a master's in rocket science. So all the people that say that, you know, it's not rocket science, hey, I have a degree in just that. So I would say a lot of things are not that hard. And, you know, I got a lot of positive response, I would say. And I talked about it today on social media. I went to a school just for just basically to help out for Career Day. And I did one of these modules you're talking about that I've always, you know, been giving back and have the presidential award and volunteer and all that. But I just developed a little cadence as far as what I was going to show kids. So I taught kids about the dynamics of flight, you know, the four principles. And I told them they knew it already. You know, we're talking about gravity. We're talking about that's down, up is lift. And we're talking about, you know, you know, push, thrust, and drag, you know. So the thrust, describing to them, they can understand about, you know, engines and such, and they can understand about drag when you talk to them about putting their hand out the window. You know, I'd always say, like, something like, hey, who has ever put their hand out the window? Then I'd say, hey, that's not a very safe thing to do. Get a lot of laughs. But I had a script that I had done, and it gotten so affected that I would just come into a school, and I knew basically what I was saying. But it was something that I was actually teaching and showing them how real life examples would apply. I didn't know that just being at that school and talking to kids on this regular level. Actually, the principal came back and said, I want you to speak at the school for the graduation because of how much of an impact. She said, I don't know what you said, but what have you said have an impact? You know, and I, you know, like I said today, it's a very important thing for people to, once you know something or once you are having some modicum of success, whatever you call that to yourself, you know, try and find ways to give back. Because I give, you know, kudos to my mother for always giving back and allowing me to have that sense. And I continue to try and bring that to the fold today as far as what my family and I do. And my wife and I, we have the same kind of mentality, you know, just go out. You know, we did Special Olympics for a couple years in a row. And, you know, just try and find ways to let, you know, help to let people know that there's people that are out there that care, because you never know how many people you would run into that without you going into it saying that I'm going to meet these dynamic and wonderful people. You bump into all kind of people, you know, like I was saying earlier online, how I bumped into, met someone that eventually turned into a councilwoman, you know. So big up to Shayla Neely, who I met out there volunteering, actually at the same school I was talking about today. So, you know, that goes back to say it's just important to do that, to give back and volunteer.
So, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, here on Cairo Queens Office of Technology, with co-host Juarez Jackson, who is not only a rocket scientist, but he is a genius, as you can tell. He has a lot of information to share. So listen, we cover everything in technology that makes technology palatable for everyday people, from anything like nanotech. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about haptics today. We're going to get into the space of virtual gaming. We talk about blogging. We talk about everything from nanotech to blogging, everything.
That's right.
I mean, we don't leave anything on the table. So, listen, there's a whole world of opportunity out here, and we all want to jump into that space. We want to get involved. We want you to get involved. We want you to see your face and your place in technology. On this show, we open that doorway for you. So if you never heard of it, pay attention. We'll tell you about some things you probably will never hear about. But, hey, it's out there, and it's an opportunity for you to get involved and engaged. Like last week, we learned about Juarez and birds from Lockheed Martin that weren't really real. They were like robotic, right?
That's right.
Know, we learned about drones. We talk about all sorts of different things on here. So
next time,
we're going to get into another show. But this time, we actually have to join two shows together. We're joining our friends from Three Counselors and a Couch, Kiba Green and Crystal Johnson Smith, who are, of course, like I said, they are professionals in the mental health space, and we're going to talk about the effects of technology on the mind. We're going to come back after the commercial break, but first I want to give a quick plug to WXRP, to Stephanie Thomas, who's the matriarch for the radio station. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for the opportunity with Robin, who is the best and most fabulous sponsor, and our
thank you, Robin. Thank you for sponsoring.
We can't do the clap anymore, but we'll do the clap when we bring the ladies on for the show, I guess. So we'll be prepared for
I'm
that one.
I'm clapping right now.
Anyway, I want to send a shout-out to Show Love International Cybersecurity Services, and they are powered by Siren. Siren is going to be probably one of the hottest international, and you probably need to hear this, one of the hottest international cybersecurity companies on the face of the planet very soon. Keep your eyes peeled for
That's
that one.
Enough.
Listen, I wanted to sing happy birthday to somebody, and then I thought about it. I didn't get to sing you happy birthday, so I'm going to sing happy birthday to two of my favorite Geek Squad leaders of intelligent robotics from the 100 Scholars Robotics. Actually, today is DeGratier Daniel's birthday, and he turns 40 today, so I want to make sure I sing to him, because I called him and sang it earlier. I said, I'm going to sing to him, and I'm going to sing to Juarez, too, because I miss singing to Juarez. Juarez didn't tell me it was his birthday till like after the fact. But listen,
that's right.
I used to do this in high school, so I thought I'd try it again. So, ready?
We ready.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday to you.
I love it. Thank you very much.
Okay, so
for
listen,
all the water signs out there.
We're going to take this commercial break. I wonder if there's anything to the two of you probably being the same sign. I just thought about that. Anyway, so both of them genius. Both from Lockheed Martin. Both intelligent engineers. Anyway, so listen, Dogwood Fest is this weekend. I don't know if anybody goes to Dogwood Fest. Dogwood Fest in Atlanta, big event that's down in Piedmont Park, and it celebrates the blossoming of the dogwood trees. Oh, yeah, it's like
right.
All over the park. Great. So we're
you can find out about a lot of things there. A lot of little companies that really advertise really well down there, too.
Right. So we'll be back after this commercial break, and we're going to call into the other show right now, and we're going to be joined by three counselors on the couch. Let's see if this works out, because, of course, this is an experiment. But, hey, what's technology if you're not always testing? So we'll be back after this commercial break.
WXRP Radio is looking to partner with your business. Could your business use more branding and exposure? Could your business use more customers? Well, WXRP Radio is here to help. Advertise with WXRP Radio and give your company the advertising boost that it needs. With packages as low as $30, WXRP Radio is the way to go. Let us get your company information out to our listeners. For more information, call 678-744-WXRP or email us at sales@WXRPradio.com. That's sales@WXRPradio.com. Let WXRP Radio help you grow your business. WXRP Radio, the station that listens.
Are you getting ready to celebrate a special moment? Need a way to raise money for your organization? Or just simply love scented candles? Well, come stick your nose in our business to smell the best scent around town, and I'm sure your nose will be pleased. For more information, call 404-954-1206 or visit igotsprinkles.com. I Got Sprinkles. Come put your nose in our business.
Are you frustrated at the thought of shopping? Is it time to change your style but you don't know where to start? Would you love to have someone shop for you and have you looking and feeling fabulous? Well, we have the solution for you, Love E Fashion. They handle everything from closet organization, styling, wardrobe, gift shopping, and so much more. Go to loveefashion.com or call them at 404-908-7997 and tell them WXRP sent you and receive 30 minutes of service free when you purchase any service. Love E Fashion, helping you look and feel fabulous.
Oh, who do we have on the line?
Hello. We are live with Three Counselors in the Couch on Talk Back Tuesdays. Is this Juarez?
This is Juarez, and who I have the pleasure of speaking with. Is this Kiba?
This is Kiba.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. We look forward to a great show today. I'm here actually in Orlando. I'm about to step in a city walk. So with our Taste of Technology Tuesday, we're looking forward to talking about so many things that converge when you talk about people in the technology as far as, you know, how we're using it and how that is affecting people's psychology. I can't wait for this show.
Well, I'm really
excited. We're
excited
as well. Crystal is also on the line.
Oh, hey, Crystal. I'm really glad to have both of you.
Hi, Kyle.
How's it going? I'm excited to both of you.
I'm glad to be here. I'm looking forward to learning and talking about this discussion because this discussion is hot right here. So I'm excited. Let's do it.
I got
10 million questions, so get ready for me.
All right.
Cool. So, okay, everybody, I still haven't been able to connect into your show, so I'm going to keep trying. But conversationally, our topic today, of course, is the effects of technology on the mind going virtual. And so the reason I even thought of this is because Oculus headsets came out. And Oculus, of course, for people that don't know, it's a headset
that kind of looks like the ViewMaster, except for it stays on your head with this belt wrapped around it. Samsung has a version of it, and Samsung paired it with their Galaxy Note 4. So they stick the 4 inside of the ViewMaster section in the front of the iSpace, and they put, like, video games on there. Except when you put the headset on, it's a 360-degree experience inside the virtual space. And going back a couple of shows, virtual spaces inside of technology mean nothing inside of there is real. These are all manufactured images. And so we're in this 360-degree virtual space now. Of course, the acronym is VR, virtual reality. If we're inside that virtual space, everything we're looking at is unreal. So Kiba and I went to Perimeter Mall during the holiday, and we tried on, we're going to pick up some gift bags that I was running in, but we tried on the Oculus headset by Samsung, and it was really crazy because it was almost like, and I shouldn't even say almost, it was real. You were inside of whatever it was you decided to traverse into. I did Cirque du Soleil, and I went in space and saw the moon and the sun, and then I went underwater and I was swimming with the fishes, and you are literally there. You just couldn't feel it. Well, ironically, I sent a link to a new device that came out, and it's called the Core K-O-R FX Gaming Vest. And so this allows you to interact with video games that make, and it allows you the ability to feel what's happening in the video game. So, and that's done via a technology called Haptic, and that's H-A-P-T-I-C-S, Haptic. So if you understand what I'm going to, then, of course, you probably don't need to listen to this conversation. But where I'm going with this in the mental space is that we've already had people who are addicted to video games as it is. And
that's
so
right.
You have people who are, you know, heavy gamers, but you have people who literally spend a lot of their lifetime playing video games. And I'm saying this because I was one of them. I never said that part, did I? I used to play a video game called Second Life. I had a store inside Second Life.
Oh, wow.
And it was just very interesting because I made money and we had cryptocurrency that we used. I used to sell clothes inside of Second Life. I got to a point, my friend Nikkei can attest to this, because I got to a point where I was playing this game so much, I didn't even want to take phone calls. I had to literally take the game off my computer, and I remember going through this, like, withdrawal, because I was like, oh, my God, I want to play that game so bad. I was dreaming about it. I could hear the music from the video games inside my head. I had the same thing happen with Nintendo. Remember the Super Mario Brothers that came out with the first Nintendo? I played it so much I could hear it in my sleep. So I'm saying this from a space of actually formerly being addicted to video gaming. And I try not to game that much because I know where I could get caught up in it and get excessively distracted by it. Because, you know, if you're mesmerized to that point by it, you get absorbed in it. I don't know what the addiction factor is, and I guess Crystal can actually chime in on that. But I thought to myself, I said,
I
want to
know. I'm going through the same thing right now. There's a game, and it's sort of like Clash of Clans, where it's a strategy game. So my whole thing is like, okay, well, I'm actually, you know, like maybe playing chess, you're enhancing your brain. And I have all the brain games kind of stuff on there, like the luminosity and stuff that supposedly help your brain. But this game is sort of addictive because, you know, you're battling and your quote unquote clan or your base is always being attacked by these people. And you start feeling offended. You start really feeling, you know, integral to the game. So when you get these updates, I guess it would sort of be like a Candy Crush kind of something that people get. And there's real emotions tied to that. There's real, you know, energy that can be really addictive that's tied to feeling, you know, a part of this username and world that a developer has built. And I think that this is a great show to let people understand how that can, I mean, not only lead to you spending your time on these games, spending your money on these games, but there's also some addictive traits that may be able to lead you down to some other roads that are unexpected. And I'd like to definitely hear from the, you know, clinicians about those things.
Well, yeah, so we got onto this thing and put the headset on, and it was just like, I said, okay, this could be really dangerous, because I know for a fact that there is a whole society that is addicted to pornography. So I even went and looked at that on YouTube, and they had already started doing a study on it, and they were saying, okay, well, what if people tried on Oculus, porn on Oculus? I said, oh, man, you're talking about way more addiction. So, of course, when I met Crystal a couple of weeks ago at the TV taping for Sex Ed 102 with Saxie B and Erica, it was just, I was like, a whole new thing opened up to me. And I said, you know what, I've been talking to Kiba about this for a while, but then she was talking about addiction. I said, wait a minute. I said, I got an addiction counselor and a mental health counselor. This could be deep. So, you know, we go into this space now, and I wanted to bring them on because, of course, Kiva actually experienced it. I don't know if she ever communicated it to Crystal, but it was just really a deep thing to me. And I kept thinking, like, I could be in this thing, like, all day and all night. If I lived alone, nobody would ever need me. I would never need to come out of this. I could stay in this all day and all night.
Before we connected together, we talked about just that, how easy it is to be isolated and isolate yourself from people. And we were talking about the movie with Sandra Bullock. I don't know if you remember, where she was a computer geek and she worked from home and she did everything online. So she never left her house. She ordered her groceries. She did. What was it?
Was
it, Cairo?
It was called
The Net.
That's it, The Net.
Okay.
Until she had identity fraud, and then she had to go out of the house. But just, you know, so just imagine how many people. I think recently a lady was in her house for some months, and no one knew or something like that. They found her body because she never went out of her house. She did everything online. But absolute addiction is real. I don't know. Crystal?
Yeah.
But I know, like, even with Candy Crush, just see, y'all talking about some real deep games here, but just think about games like Candy Crush.
Right.
Like, I see people cannot put their phone down. I'm like, are you serious?
Right.
And so I refuse to get on Candy Crush just because of what I saw other people do. I was like, oh, no. I don't need anything else to be fixated on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I have enough stuff to be fixated on. I'm fixated on Facebook, according to my friends. So that was a go ahead, Crystal.
Wow, like when my heart started beating fast when Cairo said getting into this virtual machine that allows you to experience some sexual pleasure. Like, wow.
So, Crystal, tell us more, Crystal.
Like, but there's so
I feel like
many,
I'm doing the
so
interviewing
many,
now.
There's so many tree branches to that. Do you realize like how many issues can be connected to that? Because
exactly.
Oh yes.
You know, not only do people have to get online today and be concerned about getting into a relationship, and that special person might not even be in this state, you know. And so, all those dating online things have change people's perception about dating to the point where they're doing it in different countries and different states now. But can you imagine, like, what would that be like if
a
they
different
were able
context,
to have
right?
Sex
exactly,
on some different, you know,
virtually.
Then what would be the need for human contact,
that's
which is
right.
scary, and that opens up a whole nother door. But this is what I wanted to say to you guys about addiction. That you just blew my mind with this, because now I have to do some research, because people who are addicted are have that personality, you know.
Right, that's
that
what I was leading to earlier.
They have that
right.
gene, and something externally wakes
triggers
up,
it. Right,
you know what I mean? And so yes, triggers it. And so I wouldn't say that everyone who gets into gaming to the point where they can't do anything else, I wouldn't necessarily say that that's addiction, but at the same time, I'm pretty sure it wouldn't fit the criteria of abuse or habitual.
Habitual.
Well, it's definitely going to be compulsive because it's a physical act that you need to do over and over and over again, and you can't stop. And definitely from addiction, the obsession and everything comes, you know, with that as
so,
well.
So, Crystal, I think you said something that was, you said something important, Crystal, to me, and I just want to clarify this. So, you know, I think you're leading down this lane as far as, so once this has triggered this kind of behavior or this kind of response, this new introduction of this stimuli to these people, then does that also open them up to different forms of the same kind of stimulation?
That's my point. Like, the point I'm trying to make. I'm thinking, and that's why I said I need to do research, because what I'm trying to say to you is that an addict is addicted to anything they put their hands on. Because addiction doesn't lie in the substance. It lies in the person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? In the complete person. It's a person's obsession. You know, they have a problem with their thinking. That means, you know how we joke and we say, oh, you're missing a couple of screws?
Right,
you know,
right.
The screw that I'm missing doesn't allow me to do...
process that.
To stop thoughts.
Right.
You know what I mean? Once I get locked into something, that's it. I can't really stop it until I play the whole thing out. That means I have to compulsively act out in order to get rid of the idea, right? But just think about people who are gaming that they never had any issue with addiction to anything. Substances, food, sex, gambling, money. But they wind up playing this game, and it's to the point where they can't even get out the house anymore. And so other areas of their life suffer because they're obsessing over this game. Does that make them an addict when they never had a history of this type of behavior at all?
I think so.
That's interesting to me. Like, I definitely have to find that out.
I think so. I think it does.
I think there's a huge... Go ahead, Kiba.
I'm sorry. We had a caller that's been holding the entire time.
Okay.
To make a comment.
Oh, okay.
So can we get them on the line real fast, and then we're going to continue the
conversation? Sure.
Hey, caller.
We appreciate your patience. You're on the air with Talkback, A Taste of Technology, and Three Counselors and a Couch. Are you there?
Yes. Hey, love. I'm very, very excited. Congratulations. I'm so proud of you, ladies. This is truly Sexy B. And I just wanted to...
Sexy B. What's up?
Truly. Truly, baby. I'm not new to this. I'm true to this. I love it.
Amen.
I wanted to commend you guys on what you're speaking about. I think it is so important. And I wish I have been inviting a lot of my interns, which I mentor a lot of students, and I have a lot of interns with that work for me. And they are between the ages of 18 to 27 years old. And I have a little joke when I go around the office, you know, because I regularly try to play games with them that have us interact with each other where you speak with me, because every time I come in, I see the top of their head. I know them by the top of their heads, and that's not good for me.
Right.
It also promotes laziness to me, and so I kind of tell them the technology is ruining your brain cells, so I play games with them to pull them out of that. And let them understand you're developing a chemical imbalance in your brain cells, in your daily living. When you're adding this technology, you need to communicate with people, and so that you can learn how to interact, learn how to use that chemical imbalance and balance it out. Some of the games that we play, I make them do addition in their head quickly. Give me 20 times 20. And I do it on the fly. Or I tell them to spell a word for me because, you know, they're into these LOLs, OMGs. I don't speak your language. You need to speak my language. And then there are some days, like Technology Tuesdays, what we do, we take away the telephones, we put them in a locker, and they're not allowed to use their phones in my facility. They have to interact with me physically. So I'm so glad that you're bringing this subject up. I'm going to make sure, I hope you do this again.
Time to tune in.
Yes, I'm going to invite more students in and let them understand that technology is ruling you.
Right.
I agree with Crystal. I agree with Kiba. Back in the day, you know, everything was manual. We had to remember everything. These days, I can't even remember what I go into the store. I have to look at this phone. Or
hey,
if I
people can't remember
phone,
where they've driven. People forgot where they've driven.
Yeah.
They drive somewhere and say, I can't remember where I parked my car because their phone takes them one place to another. Mm-hmm.
But
oh, yeah.
They try not being
nine
able to spell anymore.
Ten, they're going to remember. Right. But I bet you 9 times out of 10, they'll remember where they put that phone. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
That's right.
Or where they're
that's
at on that stage of that game. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. And let's not get on the game. I'm addicted as well to the word game Scrabble, where you have you get so many words in so many minutes. And I make this excuse up. Oh, it's working with my brain cells. It's happening. No, it's disconnecting me from what's really going on around me. And I also use another excuse. Oh, it's relaxing me. It's taking me away from such a stressful day. In fact, it's not. It's actually adding more stress to my day because I'm needing to have this piece of technology with me all the time in order to survive and continue to be what I call productive.
Right. You got it. Well, we thank you, Truly Sexy B.
Sexy, thanks so much for that input. That was awesome.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
and
so
we need more people.
Archive, they can go to Blog Talk Radio Sexy and listen to it anytime. So if they miss it tonight, they can log on and listen to the show anytime.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm definitely going to promote this. And I hope, like I said, I have 50 kids working for me. I really hope that we could get together and you guys come and give them a seminar because they lead by example, and if they have people like yourself telling them, hey, you know, or showing them, you know, technology, it can be helpful, but it also can be harmful. And learn how to balance it, and I think we'll be a better society. I really do. Yeah.
Absolutely. That, man, where's the round of applause at? We need, you know, we need gunshots going off right now. We need we need something because she is right on point. We need to understand that what she's talking about, what she's doing, first of all, commend you, Truly Sexy B, for out there, you know, giving back and trying to help out in your community because we need more of that first and foremost. But at the same token, just recognizing not only her own personal ailments as far as being disconnected, but what her friends or her mentees that she's helping out, how that's affecting their lives. So, you know, I want, you know, you guys to talk about that. It's not even the time you spent doing these games, but the time that you could have been doing something else that I think people don't already, you know, realize that, you know, we talked about how it can lead you down the road to other things, but, you know, there's amount of time that's spent in front of the screen that's just, it's bringing you away from things that are productive.
So, wait,
I think
on this.
She brought up a lot of points. Go ahead. Okay.
think on the fact that you have a lot of differences in the society that we used to have and the society that we have now. For example, you have youth who are, they say we're exceptionally larger than we were before. I mean, you think they don't go outside and play because they play inside. These kids play video games now. They don't want to play Rock 'em Sock 'em Robots or Tag. They want to be inside, and they want to play video games, or they want to watch music videos. So they were born
virtual.
What that causes,
though?
You know?
So what does that cause? I know it causes some things, and I know our clinicians will talk about what are those things that it causes, right? There has to be some sort of root dynamic, and we described it as a screw missing, but there has to be some sort of social or soft skills that we talked about earlier that's going to be missing.
Absolutely.
If you do not correlate with, you know, I mean,
absolutely,
not LOL and DWL and all these other acronyms that's out there. You have to be able to to read people's body language, right? You can't do that through an iPad or iPhone when you're talking to people, right? There's a certain amount of, you know, social decorum that we need to have with each other that is not, you know, in bold text, you know? So there's something going on that we need to address to be able to master that, because if not, we're going to be really entrapped, I think. You know, it's going to be really enslaved by these devices and these games that we've spent so much time to develop. These same things are going to actually hamper us in how we're out there trying to actually get things accomplished.
Can you imagine customer service in 10 years?
Absolutely. I mean, like she said, she made a valid point earlier, Taxi. Communication, I mean, just writing skills, speaking skills mm-hmm. have changed completely. I know a lot of employers are not, you know, pleased now because young people do not know how to write correctly, do not know how to speak correctly because we write everything in acronyms. That's what mm-hmm. right about. Social skills, not being able to interact with each other. We don't know how to have a conversation and like
wow.
you said, understand body language,
mm-hmm.
that type of thing. And then, like you said, we're so disconnected from human touch. So, you know, just human touch alone can heal you. So that may be a reason why we have so many illnesses. Think about
right.
that. And so, like, we are not physically involved
wow.
anymore, you know, with each other
mm-hmm.
anymore. So there are so many things that are factored into this that we don't even consider. And, of course, you know, the obesity thing, the weight thing that they focus
mm.
on, you know, with the kids not getting out and exercising properly.
Right.
And, yes, they're using their brains, but they're not necessarily using their brains in creativity ways. Think about that. So a lack of creativity and imagination in some areas. Because
mm-hmm.
we had to make
wow.
up games. You know, we
made up games.
And cans, soda cans, and whatever we had to do. We made a house. We built robots. We
right.
did it all with, you know, our imagination and just what we had available to us.
Mm-hmm.
So now
that's
they
right.
don't even have that. And I was also reading something that says it is causing anxiety and inadequacy. Inadequacy in young people because they feel left out. See, they're not attached to their phone. They feel like they're missing something. All
right.
What about,
wow.
what are they posting? Who's doing this?
Right.
So think about that. Then we got, that's why we have an increase of self-esteem and, and self-infliction,
right.
you know. And so,
right.
Wow.
I turned that. I never thought about contributing to that. So
right.
all of those factors.
Yeah, because, you know, you get on the phone, especially as a young lady, there's so many influences. You know, you see people, you know, like Kanye's wife, I'm not even going to say her name, right, that out there. And,
yeah.
I mean, you know, God bless her. She seems like a very nice person. But still, the image that she has out there and the way that she's gotten to fame will always have some sort of negative connotation to these girls out there who have to think that, well, she's gotten popular and she's made all these millions. Do I need to do something this dramatic in order to get ahead? So we have all kind of, I think, social devices right now that's really playing into what people are really envisioning themselves as when it's not really realistic. Because if you're getting so many people that you'll be able to look at and then you're seeing maybe the top 2% and holding that as how somebody should look when that's the top, you know, 1-2% of society physically, then it gets a bad, you know, connotation where people get a misrepresentation of what reality is and what, you know, regular people without Botox or without, you know, any kind of paintbrush or Photoshop really looks like. So that adds to a lot of it. And, you know, me as a father of young girls, I think about that a lot and try to find ways to combat that. But at the same time, that is very prevalent in our society, and I think that's been there. For young women, it's toxic. For young men, it's also toxic. We're talking about the de-emphasizing of the greatness and the beauty of women into just a picture, a frame, a look, not a person behind that. So we have all kind of relationship issues that could happen.
Oh, my God.
with the objectifying of a man. This is deep.
Wait, Warren, I got a real testimony about that. Yesterday, a man that I've spoken with specifically called me and said these words. I want y'all to understand how serious this is, because he is in this genre of people who are immersed in the technology so much that they are detached from human connection. So, and a man, and I need every woman to understand when I'm saying this to you. If a man says to you that he wants to test the merchandise, he is equivocating you to an item. And I had to say this to him. I said, I'm not an item. He said, when you buy a car, You can test drive a car. I said, I'm not a car. He said, when you walk through a house, you can view the house first. I said, I am not a house. I said, as a matter of fact, I'm not a material thing. I am not a thing. I am a human. You have an issue with identifying what you are supposed to do with a human as opposed to dealing with a material object. I was like, I'm not an object. I'm a woman. And it was just like, I thought to myself, I thought about the show. I said, you know what? He has a detachment because he does not deal with people except for in the environment of work. He does not deal with people on a social level. He deals with people in a professional level, and it's either business or it's work. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not, there's not a human factor in there. So I become an item. I'm like, I am not a material item. And so I see this happen now, being women being objectified online and in social media, and girls buying into the concept. I saw a grown woman who is drop-dead gorgeous, and a friend of mine, I won't say her name, I saw her on Instagram the other day. She was, when I tell you she was drop-dead gorgeous and already had the perfect shape, perfect body, and any woman would pay to look like her already.
Right.
She wouldn't have had plastic booty inserts done and put on her.
Wow.
And I said to myself, the obsession with what you see in social media, not even just on television.
That hurts.
Right.
That hurts. That hurts me when I see that. It's like, where did that come from?
I think you said it, Juarez. I think you said that earlier, like, if all you see are the 2%, that's what they're showing you, and that's all you have to go by, especially these young people. And so, you know, people are dying daily for these booty shots. And it's
dying, like, oh, literally dying. That's what she means, dying, like dead, like funeral and eulogy.
And,
right.
Death, right? Exactly. Exactly. I know it's not funny, but that was funny.
It's not.
I mean, if all we see on TV is, okay, so just think about our reality shows now. So our relationships are sex and fighting, right? There's no conversations. Uh-huh. There's no courting. There's no, you know, well, I'll be old school. I'm telling my age now, courting. There's no dating. There's no, you know, romancing, treating a woman. What do we see? We see half-naked women fighting each other, cursing each other out.
Right.
And when they're in a relationship with the man, they're fighting and cursing, and then they're having sex. That's what you see.
Is that bringing a new normal? Is that what's making people think that that's normal?
Can I say hell no?
Absolutely.
Can I say hell no?
You say what?
You said hell no. I can say that being a single female in this time frame is so scary, because you don't know what is inside somebody's mind when they're looking at you.
Right.
And what is beauty? And then what is love to this person? It scares me. Like, when I say that seriously, and just operating these people in a virtual space, we can get into, and Crystal and I and Dr. Hill, we were all talking about the movie Her. And I don't know if anybody has saw this movie. I recommend every person on the face of this planet watch this movie. Because the movie takes you into the space of where I'm always telling people we're going to go in the future. They don't believe me when I say this, but people will be dating robots. You will be dating your computers. You know why I tell you you're doing this? You're already doing it on Facebook. You are already dating people in a cyberspace you have never seen them before, and you don't even know that they exist. You don't know if that's not a virtual person or not. That person is on the computer screen revealing stuff to you, talking to you, and courting you. Well, in the movie, the man gets to a computer that has an algorithm based off of what he likes. And so the algorithm learns everything about him. So, of course, a companionship develops because he actually just came out of a relationship. He's scarred with an open wound. And so the computer becomes adaptable to everything he needs. It knows everything about him. It has researched all his life's history. So, of course, you formulate a relationship with this algorithm inside of this computer, and the computer has a voice you select. I want that voice, you know, the sexy voice, the voice that he picks, right, the one that turns him on. So, of course, they go all the way into having relations where he's masturbating, listening to the thing talk to him. The thing, because it's an algorithm, and, you know, technology wants to solve for X and X's, now I need to experience the human experience. So I'm going to go hire a prostitute to go have sex with him so I can figure out what it's like. And see the emotion and see the action. So, I mean, all this stuff is happening where speed up through the movie. I'm about to tell the story, sorry. But you speed up into the movie. And at a certain point, because the technology, and again, technology solves for X, what is X, how to make it better. And so it's always searching for more information. Now, humans have a stopping point on that. And a computer doesn't, because a computer has to deal with X's and O's, right? We deal with ones and zeros. So they're talking about data. And so they're always absorbing more and more data. And so there's a whole society of computers that have now gotten to this space where they're absorbing data. And so the data gets into a place where it goes beyond human capacity, and it's ready to leave humans alone because they've surpassed our existence now. They're like, you're not relevant to us anymore. So they go and create their own dimension, and they don't want to come back. And so what happens in the course of all of this, she starts realizing, you know, in order for me to learn more about him, I need to know more about other humans. So she starts to interact with other computers and other people's experiences and other relationships. So now the whole society got people who are having relationships with computers and trying to marry their computer. And so when you look and you understand, that is a thing because it's already happening. This is already happening in the space we're in right now.
Everyone knows about the story. Well, they know Casanova. If I say somebody is a Casanova, they know exactly what that means. They know that that person is a very, with a lot of women, right? This person was actually a real person through time. Don Juan Casanova, as his name was. So, yeah, he actually spent time finding out about the women before he pursued them. So before he even said hi, he knew everything about them that it was to know in the public sphere. So if they liked grapes, if they liked fruit, if they liked anything, by the time he said, yes, how you doing, he would know everything about them. So that's what made him such a successful Casanova. And today when you have these computers and the power of technology to look at every single chat that you have, look at every single interaction that you have, and say, let me find the best page for you. This is a scary future we're talking about, where we have to be mindful that this is us that might be creating our own problems.
Oh, my gosh. So, ladies, you know, I'm really wanting...
Who would it be?
I'm wanting to...
Who is that?
...into a space where... That was Kiba. I want to give you space that we can.
If not us, then who would it be?
I know,
you
right?
Know, it's always about us. You guys talked about it in the beginning, the progression of how we got here in the first place. You know, from when we started with the, you know, the little cell phone and you can't remember nobody's phone number now, to the
right
point where, you know, we can now have intimacy with a computer. We created that. You know, our imagination, when we was out there playing games as children, you know, we created it. The problem is that, you know, humans are just so, I don't know, like, we are insatiable. You know, we always want to consume something, you know, like we're like garbage cans, you know. I'm afraid of the fact that this behavior is taken away from the spiritual nature. Because humans are a triune being, you know, whether people want to believe it or not. You can see your head, you can see your feet, and, you know, that's physical and that's mental. But, you know, somewhere in that thoracic area, that lumbar area, is something sitting in there other than organs, okay? And truly, like, emotions come out of that. And when people, what a place to run to when you don't know how to deal with another person. So now you go to where the machine is, where the machine is going to do just what you tell it to do because we created it, right? It's going to do exactly. So there's no challenge, you know. Everybody's mind is dull. But when Kiba was talking about the kids, like the kids can't write, they can't speak or do any of that, you know, like my blowout question is, why should they? Like, are they really going to need that? Because when you think about where the future is going, we tend to think about it from our lenses of where we came from. But they didn't come from where we came from. So in their world, the progression starts, I guess, here, and it's moving towards something that is not about cursive no more. And
you're
it's
right.
not about, you know,
right.
Communication skills, or kinesthetics,
right.
or
right.
yeah,
right.
like
grammatical errors. And
yeah,
all that. Right, right,
yeah.
Right.
The computer fixed all that for you. I can't spell, and I'm a doctoral student. I cannot spell since the day they made a computer.
Wow.
The computer's all for me.
Right, right.
So they may not need to. So what happens to people like us? You know, the ones who know. I'm thinking of that movie, the book of Eli. You know, where he was talking to the young girl who was following him around, and she asked him the question, you know, what was it like, you know, before the fall? And he was saying people had everything and didn't know what to do with it.
Right.
Now, you know, they took it for granted. Now we trying to kill each other on a piece of toilet tissue, you know?
Right.
We might need to just forget. Do we really need to forget about where we came from and get on with the program? Or my favorite movie, The Matrix, I'm just saying, you know, unplug. Make a decision. Like, whoever's going to live in The Matrix, do that, and whoever's going to unplug, do that. Is that possible? Or do we have to forget about where we came from and move on to this new place? And the reason why I'm asking that question is because ultimately, as an existentialist, I really do believe that we create our own angst. We make our own problems. And so when somebody is living somebody else's life, you know, expectations or whatever, like if you're not you, then you're somebody else. And you're going to always have a problem with that. You're going to always have a problem with you because you're trying to, you know, I'm a 9. Why I'm trying to wear a size 6 shoe? Because I'm trying to fit in, because I'm trying to, you know what I mean? And to me, that creates a lot of mental distress and mental disorder. You know,
right.
I mean, people were talking about the fact that we got parents who, they ain't really old. Our parents is swinging. Like, they do more than me and Kiba do. But to make them do a text or do their email from the phone or all that stuff or just even do call waiting in Kiba's father's case, he likes the busy signal. Don't even call while you're on the phone with somebody else. You know, what about them? Like, do they?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, do they need to cross over? Are they gonna be like dinosaurs? I don't know.
Right. The red pill or the blue pill? Dr. Kiba has just put it out there for everyone. So what are we gonna do? And I'll say what I think. I think that there's no choice of the matter, that you don't have a red or a blue pill, that we have to assimilate into society and then just keep cognizant of these things that we might be losing as we go down this road. Because this road is something that it's not a two-lane road. It's a road of one way, and it's technology, and it's continuation. So it's not like you're going to have people that going back to the Stone Ages after they found steel and were able to build wheels, right? You're going to have to just think about those things that we might be losing.
So right here, we have to take a hard pause and click over to the next show because our show actually has come to an end. It's already been an hour, ironically. We're going to click over to the counselors and the couch now.
And ladies
and gentlemen,
if
you want to join us, if you want to join us, we're going to go to 347-850-8610. That is Three Counselors and a Couch, and we can join Kiba and Crystal.
Right,
for
and
the,
I want to
the,
say,
the
ladies,
Ressa.
It has been a pleasure. You know, I'm down here in Orlando with the family, and we are about to get going and what we have to do. But it's been such a pleasure. Y'all keep up the energy. This is a good conversation, and I'll support y'all in anything that y'all need for me to do. Keep up the energy and the vibes, and keep on letting people know about what's going on.
All right, so we're going to quit. Thank you, Warren. Warren's the best
commercial break. Yes.
All right, they're going to...